Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Richest Man in Babylon by George S. Clayson is a classic personal finance book framed as a set of parables set in ancient Babylon. First published in the 1920s, it uses short, accessible stories to explain principles of saving, investing, debt management, and financial discipline. Rather than presenting technical theory, the book relies on characters such as Arkad, a prosperous scribe, to show how ordinary people can build wealth through consistent habits and informed decisions. Its purpose is practical to translate money management into simple rules that readers can understand and apply in everyday life. The book remains widely read because its lessons are clear, memorable, and rooted in behavior rather than complicated financial terminology. It is especially aimed at readers who want foundational guidance on budgeting, reducing waste, and learning how to make money work productively over time. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Arkad's rise shows that wealth begins with disciplined saving. One of the book's central ideas is that wealth is built from a habit of saving, not from income alone. Through Arkad's story, Clayson shows that financial progress begins when a person sets aside a fixed portion of earnings before spending the rest. This principle is simple, but the book treats it as foundational because it forces readers to separate needs from desires and to recognize that small, consistent reserves become capital over time. The emphasis is not on occasional restraint, but on automatic discipline. By making saving the first claim on income, the book turns wealth building into a structural habit rather than a matter of luck or sudden windfalls. This also helps explain why the book has remained influential. It offers a rule that can be applied at almost any income level. The point is not merely to accumulate money, but to train one's financial behavior so that future opportunities can be used rather than missed. Secondly, the book treats money as a tool that must be put to productive use. Clayson does not present money as something to store passively. Instead, one of the book's most important lessons is that money should be made to work through careful investment and lending decisions. This idea appears in the teachings Arkad shares after he becomes wealthy. Savings alone are not enough if they remain idle. The book encourages readers to think of capital as an active resource that can generate future income when used wisely. At the same time, it warns that productive use of money requires judgment, patience, and restraint. The lesson is not to chase quick gains, but to seek opportunities that are understandable and relatively secure. In this way, the book balances ambition with caution. It presents investment as a continuation of disciplined saving, not as a separate gambling mindset. That distinction matters because it makes wealth creation appear systematic, repeatable, and grounded in financial literacy rather than speculation. Thirdly, avoiding debt is presented as a prerequisite for financial freedom. A major recurring theme in the book is that debt can trap people in cycles of dependency and limit their ability to build wealth. Clayson repeatedly emphasizes the importance of honoring obligations, repaying what is owed, and not allowing liabilities to dominate one's income. This is especially clear in the stories that deal with lending, repayment, and debt pressure. The book does not argue that all borrowing is impossible, but it strongly suggests that careless debt weakens financial control because future earnings are already spoken for. By contrast, freedom comes from retaining enough surplus income to save and invest. The practical logic is straightforward: a person burdened by debt has fewer choices, less flexibility, and more exposure to emergencies. The book therefore treats debt avoidance as preventive discipline, not just an accounting preference. Readers are pushed to see that lasting prosperity depends as much on what one refuses to owe as on what one earns. Fourthly, the parables make financial rules memorable and easy to apply. A distinctive feature of The Richest Man in Babylon is its use of parables rather than direct instruction. Instead of writing a manual filled with abstract advice, Clayson embeds financial principles in short stories set in an ancient civilization associated with wealth and trade. This method gives the book two advantages. First, it makes the lessons easier to remember because the reader associates them with characters, choices, and outcomes. Second, it gives the advice moral weight, since the stories show consequences rather than merely describing them. The format also broadens the book's audience. Readers who might resist technical finance discussions can absorb the same ideas through narrative. At a deeper level, the parables suggest that financial wisdom is timeless and behavioral, not dependent on modern institutions. The setting creates distance from present-day life, which helps the lessons feel universal rather than tied to a specific economy or era. That storytelling structure is a major reason the book continues to be recommended. Lastly, seeking wise counsel is treated as part of financial competence. The book does not assume that wealth comes only from self-discipline. It also stresses the importance of learning from people who already understand money management. Arkad's progress depends in part on advice from a more experienced and knowledgeable merchant, and this pattern appears throughout the book. The message is that financial competence includes humility A person must recognize what they do not know and seek guidance before making costly mistakes. This idea expands the book beyond simple saving rules and into financial judgment. It suggests that reading, listening, and observing successful practices are forms of investment themselves because they reduce error and improve decision-making. In modern terms, the book values financial education and mentorship as practical tools, not luxuries. This matters because many money problems arise not only from low income or spending habits, but from ignorance about how money works. Clayson therefore presents wisdom seeking as a habit that supports every other financial principle in the book. In conclusion, The Richest Man in Babylon is best suited for readers who want a clear, non-technical introduction to personal finance. It is especially useful for beginners, young earners, and anyone trying to build better money habits without wading through complex investing theory. Its main practical value lies in its emphasis on behavior: save a portion of income, control expenses, avoid damaging debt, seek sound advice, and put money to productive use. These lessons are simple, but the book's strength is that it presents them in a memorable format that is easy to revisit and apply. Compared with many finance books, it stands out because it teaches through parables rather than instruction alone. That approach gives the advice lasting clarity and makes the principles feel concrete rather than abstract. It also remains relevant across generations because it focuses on habits that are independent of market trends or financial jargon. Readers looking for a foundational money book will find it concise, practical, and unusually durable in its impact. If you would like to support George S. Clayson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.